Hello and welcome to another edition of Critical Q&A, the show where I answer your questions that you have left for me in the comments section of my Q&A videos or have sent to me at askchrisshelton@gmail.com. It is the holiday season, and happy holidays to everybody. I hope things are going well for you. Things are certainly exciting in Shelton land, I can tell you that. There are some really big projects coming up that look to be very, very exciting, and I can't really get into a lot of the details of them other than to say there's some really cool stuff happening. If you haven't seen my part one of the interview I did with Rachel Bernstein on video, please check it out, because I think if you have any interest at all in Scientology or destructive cults or groups like that that exert undue influence on people, you're gonna wanna hear what Rachel has to say. I've got a three-part interview with her, and the first one went up this week, and the next two will come up in the following weeks. And it is really good stuff, so check it out. And also, if you haven't checked out my podcast with Ruth, then please do so as well. We have some really good stuff being put out there that is not always Scientology-oriented, but I still think it's pretty good stuff. So, also, I just wanted to give a quick update on my book project. It is, the draft is done, the editing is being done. I've got an editor, he's going through it. I'm doing a bibliography and glossary and various things. I'm trying to keep you guys up to date on it. It's a big project writing a book, especially one that is a critical analysis rather than just a memoir or just, you know, my story, because it's not just my story. So anyway, I know I've been kind of teasing about this thing for a while because I actually thought it was going to go faster than it's going, but it is almost there, and I'm really pushing to get this thing done as soon as possible. So I'll let you know as soon as it is completed. And now let's get to your questions. Marissa Harris. Hi, Chris. I was just wondering what your opinion is on Scientology private schools. Schools such as Delphi Academy. Why do they advertise their schools as an applied scholastic school and withhold the information of a Scientology link? Well, my opinion of Scientology schools is they are not something that I would ever send any child to if I wanted him to have a well-rounded and decent education free of undue influence from L. Ron Hubbard, because all applied scholastic schools utilize Hubbard's study technology, and that in itself isn't necessarily a bad thing, to look up words you don't understand or demonstrate concepts you don't understand. There's nothing like really weird or crazy or strange about that. But with the Scientology influence, many of these schools utilize Hubbard's ethics and justice system, and that is just flat out destructive. It creates a sort of Big Brother kind of situation where reports are being written on other students for infractions and whatnot that they see, and you get this sort of system going on that's kind of a Hitler Youth sort of thing, and I can't support that at all or recommend anything like that. The ethics and justice system that Hubbard pushes is 100% destructive. And Jeff Hawkins has written a great book analysis on that, and I'll put a link to it in the description below, so you can check that out. That's on Amazon, and it's way too much for me to get into a micro summary of what's wrong with Hubbard's ethics and justice system, because it's legion, and literally an entire book has been written about it. So I don't need to go back over all of that except to say I would never have anything to do with it, and I would never let any of my children anywhere near it. Otherwise, in terms of why they don't mention the Scientology link, because the word Scientology is completely toxic and nobody wants to have anything to do with it, but they don't necessarily understand what applied scholastics is, or know that applied scholastics is a front group for Scientology. It's a group that is manned and run by Sea Org members at its very highest level, and it is at its level of administration. And that group pushes Hubbard's study technology and all of the licensing and use of the marks of Dynamics and Scientology, the trademarks and service marks, are licensed through Applied Scholastics to those schools. So they will refer to the Hubbard method of study or the study technology, you know, or Hubbard's study methods, but they won't say Scientology because they're basically cowards and don't want people to make those two connections right away because, of course, people will stay the hell away from them. So, and then they won't be making money. But the other thing to know about those private schools is they're almost entirely populated by Scientologists' kids. So, you know, like Delphi in Oregon and Delphi in Los Angeles, and I think there's some other Delphi or some other school like that in Florida. And those schools, you know, that are where Scientologists pay a lot of money to send their children, right? So it's all just part of the whole, you know, culture of Scientology that those schools exist, and parents, you know, rightfully so, can be frustrated with the public school system. I'm not sitting here saying that the alternative of public schools is so wonderful, because I know there's tons of problems in the educational system. And so Scientologists, trusting L. Ron Hubbard and trusting his methodology, think that that's a viable alternative for their kids. And purely educational-wise, I don't know. I don't particularly have a problem with how they go about educating the kids from within my knowledge of how those Delphi schools or the private schools operate in the Scientology world. That's not my problem with them. The quality of the education is not my issue. My issue is everything else that goes on with that. Very destructive, and not something that any child should have to grow up with. So that's my opinion. Mike DeWolf, what is your current view on psychiatry? If it has evolved, can you describe that evolution? Yeah, sure. Definitely my view on psychiatry has evolved since I left Scientology. In fact, it was one of the first things I looked into when I was starting to realize that Hubbard's opinions and attitudes and information about things had so heavily been indoctrinated into me that I realized this was a few months after I found out that Scientology was not what I thought it was. I realized that my views on homosexuality, psychiatry, psychiatric drugs were all based on Hubbard and Hubbard's hatred of those things. And so I needed to reevaluate that for myself. You know, what do I think about it? And so I looked into information about psychiatry specifically and came to realize that it is not black and white. It's not all bad or all good. It's just another field of study that people involve themselves in an effort to try to help others. And Scientology certainly has no viable alternative for people who are mentally ill. They don't care about people who are actually psychotic or who are demonstrating an inability to get along in society because of mental problems or issues that they have. Scientology has no solution for that. All they want to do is close down all the psychiatric hospitals, stop all the psychiatric drugging, and then what? Give people introspection rundowns? Well, that really worked for Lisa McPherson, didn't it? You know, I don't think so. Scientology has no solution for those real, very, very real psychiatric issues that people have. So, realizing that, I saw the fact that there is a whole field here that is very needed and very necessary. And while it does not have all the answers taped to in other words, it doesn't have all of them nailed down to what to do with those people. At least it's got something. You know, there are institutions where people can go and chill and be away from society and be away from their triggers or whatever. And also, in terms of psychiatric drugs or psychotropic drugs, you know, it's a little bit from what I've read so far, and I read a couple books on it after I got out of Scientology. It's a little bit of a crapshoot, not totally, you know, 50-50, but it's some people respond to them, others don't. So you have to kind of give it a chance, give it a look, be willing to see whether the side effects are manageable, or whether that's something that is going to create more issues than the person had to begin with, right? And it's going to be individual for each person. And it was when I saw that that I realized that all of the drivel that Hubbard talks about with psychiatry was really just him knocking the competition, because he was trying to get with Dianetics when he started on this anti-psychiatry rant of his. He was trying to get people convinced that Dianetics was a science of the mind that would replace and take over psychiatry. And of course, it was a total scam. So of course it didn't. And it doesn't produce the results that it says it will, not just with making it clear, but it doesn't even relieve psychosis and anxiety and all those other things. Not 100% of the time, it doesn't. And it's at best, Dianetics is a Band-Aid. So he failed miserably in his effort to take over psychiatry. And of course, psychiatrists at the time and psychologists at the time back in 1950 and 51 panned Dianetics because it was clearly written as pseudoscience. And so they didn't want to have anything to do with it. And it makes total sense to me now why that was. So that's my view on psychiatry at this point. Just some guy. Hi Chris, you define Scientology as a money-making scam, etc., but would it be correct to say you are then only referring to the Church of Scientology, orgs, Sea Org, management, IAS, etc., and not the texts and materials of Scientology as a philosophical subject? My question is, how do you see those in the independent field who get and receive Scientology auditing training at a fraction of the cost, one could say a fair exchange, and believe, think, feel, know, they get benefit from it? Would you say they are still in a destructive cult-induced state or otherwise? This is a tough question because there are, you know, a lot of factors involved in this, and I am loath to try to sit in judgment on other people who think that they've got something and it works for them, you know, and they're happy with it. I don't feel it's my place to tell somebody, well, it's not, and you're really not experiencing that, and the gains and wins and subjective ideas you have about it are all just a bunch of crap. I'm loath to do that. So I'm not answering this question from a position of judgment. So you're asking me, you know, what's my take on this though, and I'm going to tell you that I don't think that Scientology as a philosophical subject is anything but destructive. I don't see it as a philosophical subject. I see it as a scam. And in the same way that I see homeopathy as a scam. I mean, are you kidding me with this? You know, I mean, these micro amounts of something in water, and you know, that whole pseudoscience is, there's nothing to it. It's a scam. And that's what I feel about Dianetics and Scientology. So while I can say that about homeopathy and feel confident that the science behind it is total nonsense, I feel the same way about Dianetics and Scientology. When it comes to body thetans and the reactive mind and engrams and assists and all of that, I don't subscribe to any of that as beneficial technology that's there to help people. And so just because somebody feels like they're getting something out of it doesn't mean that to me it has one iota of validity in terms of actual truth or scientific validity. It just doesn't work that way to me. There's a placebo effect. There is confirmation bias. There are so many things I could talk about in terms of logic and reason and critical thinking as to why people would buy into that stuff, that I don't need to grant it or cede it any validity in order to explain why some people feel like they benefit from it. People get benefits from all kinds of things that are not necessarily beneficial to them. So in terms of actual hard objective evidence. So that's kind of my view about, you know, people who continue to use Dianetics and Scientology as independent Scientologists. I don't subscribe to that. I don't think it's healthy. But that's just my opinion. And, you know, I'm not, again, there's no judgment here. I'm not telling people who do that, well, you're a bunch of morons or something. That's not really my point. You know, I'm not trying to degrade them or make them feel like they're, you know, wrong for believing that they have experienced gains from Dianetics and Scientology. I experienced gains in Dianetics and Scientology. I mean, that's why I did it for 27 years. You know, and I think anybody who comes out of Scientology and says that they didn't experience gains is a horrible liar, because of course you did. Otherwise, why would you continue doing it? But to come out the other side, the benefit, the cost-benefit analysis of Dianetics and Scientology to your life, you know, versus what you get out of it, it doesn't equalize, it doesn't pan out. Scientology takes so much more from you than it gives. And Dianetics is, you know, the pseudoscience and the purification rundown is, these are destructive activities to a person mentally and physically. So I can't get behind that, and I would never recommend that somebody continue to use Dianetics and Scientology after they've left. I can't subscribe to that, right? But it's not a personal thing, right? And I hope I'm making it sounds a little complicated or a little wishy-washy or something, and I don't mean to be wishy-washy. I'm just trying to say that I'm not down on people for what they want to do. I guess in the same way that I'm not down on Christians or Catholics for wanting to believe in God. You know, I don't believe in that God. I don't think that that God exists. But I'm not down on Christians and Catholics for it. I don't think they're a bunch of morons. People can believe whatever they want, you know. So I hope I'm clear about that, and sort of, you know, explaining myself clearly that I don't grant Dianetics and Scientology's written philosophical materials any validity or any authority or that I don't think they have any truth connected with them. But that doesn't mean that people aren't going to say they get benefits from it. So there you go. Zoa Zorusen. A lot of the techniques used by Hubbard and later by Miscavige seem to blur the line between mind control and aggressive PR techniques. Would you consider that statement correct, or maybe would you say that bottom line, PR and mind control are basically the same thing? And on that train of thought, given you lean toward answer B, could it also be said that somehow corporations, states, and maybe even professional core and association could also be considered cultish? When it comes to aggressive PR techniques, or the things that PRs do in order to change or influence public opinion, the line can get a little gray or a little blurry between that and exerting undue influence or deception or using deceptive methods to convince people to do things. So I think if we look at this in terms of maybe how the Nazi regime, right, used PR, right, in order to sway and motivate and shape public opinion against the Jews, of course, classically, but also for Germany, for the Nazi Party, for Hitler. A lot of the techniques that are talked about or used in mind control groups are very similar or the same to what was used by the Nazi Party, right? Because they really put a lot of work into figuring out, you know, what techniques were going to work to sway people on a massive scale, right? And so you get a lot of those same techniques being used now. Also, Orwell broke down and talked about a lot of the techniques that are used, and absolutely that stuff is used in modern PR. For example, propaganda. I've talked about propaganda by redefinition of terms. You get a word and you get people to start thinking that that word means something different than what it normally means, and you get them to change their views about a thing based on that. And of course, Orwell talks about in 1984 very extreme examples of that. Freedom is slavery. You know, ignorance is strength, or you know, those kind of things, right? So you change these words around, and of course, Scientology is all about that. You know, there's all kinds of redefinitions of words, and I've documented how Hubbard said that is a good thing to do and something that Scientology should be engaged in, when it absolutely is a destructive mind control technique, but it's used in PR. So I think that those two things, you know, come together in many different ways. You know, I don't know that anybody's doing that in order to sell cereal, but I think you see a lesser version of that in some of modern advertising and advertising techniques and whatnot. So it becomes undue influence, I think. If I was going to draw a line in the sand and say, okay, here's where it's acceptable and here's where it's not, it's at the point when you're using it deceptively, when a person is not aware of the fact that they're being advertised to or PR'd. You know, somebody walks into a Dianetics Center or a Church of Scientology and they are told that this information that they're being given is scientific in nature and is scientifically proven to be valid, right? Like this purification rundown nonsense that they push off on people, saying drug toxins are lodged in the fatty tissues of their body and this is scientifically proven. Well, now you're lying to somebody, right? And you're giving them completely false information in an effort to get them to buy something, right? You've crossed a line there. That's unacceptable. And you create in that person's mind this idea that the toxic materials are purposefully being put there, you know, by the big bad corporations and whatnot. And you get this whole us versus them thing going, and it's very easy to cross lines with this. This same thing goes on everywhere. It's not just in destructive cults that do this, though. So in terms of whether I think that businesses or corporations or things like that get into this, absolutely. No question about it. You know, like I, it's not even a question, really. You know, do they? Yeah, of course they do. And we see this all across the internet, all across media. It's one reason why people hate advertising so much. They have a natural reaction against it, because they know they're being lied to. They know somebody is trying to purposefully deceive them into spending their money on something that they don't really need, is not really good for them, is not something that is going to improve the quality of their life, but they're being told that it will, and you know, they learn lessons as they grow up or go through life that that's not actually the case, and yet the advertising keeps hitting them, you know. And this is why ad blocker and ad blocker plus and all of that on the internet are such popular extensions to browsers, is because people don't want to see it anymore. They hate advertising because it's all mostly, you know, there's so many deceitful statements made in advertising that you just can't really trust it anymore. So that, you know, is sort of the back and forth on advertising, PR, and mind control. Elias, I was on some course or another for about a year in the Church of Scientology. While doing some of the courses, I learned that suppressive people cause many of society's problems. In particular, some of those problems are physical in nature. Well, I am a disabled person. I was born with cerebral palsy. In the time I was in the Church of Scientology, I never saw another disabled person in the Orange County Org or in the Los Angeles Org. One of my questions is, what does Scientology think about people with disabilities? And because I have cerebral palsy, does it mean one or both of my parents are suppressive persons, thus they cause my disability? My final question is, are there any physically disabled people in the Sea Org? According to Scientology doctrine, anybody who has any sort of physical disabilities or conditions is PTS, a potential trouble source. And that means that they've been influenced or are somehow under the suppression of a suppressive person, somebody who's trying to squash and hinder them. It doesn't mean it's your parents. It could be anybody. It could be an aunt, uncle, you know, this person, that person. And it could have been the doctor who, you know, if it was a condition that was that you're born with, it could be something from a past life. You know, Scientology is very vague on where the suppression could come from. It could come from anywhere because, let's face it, It's total horseshit. That's not what causes people to have physical disabilities. But in the Scientology world, that's where they'll look all over the place, and they'll even go into past lives in order to find it. As far as people in the Sea Org who have disabilities, yeah, I did see some people in the Sea Org who had disabilities, but they don't generally last very long in the Sea Org with those disabilities. Either they get kicked out because they are no longer useful, or they end up leaving of their own accord because they find that the lifestyle is too rigorous and too rough. And I don't think that that the Sea Org generally recruits people with physical disabilities, not overt physical disabilities, because they know that, you know, they're going to be expected to, you know, be up 24/7 doing whatever, and they don't want people around who can't keep up. So that's kind of how that works in the Sea Org. And it's time for Flash Answers. Jay Collins, is Scientology racist? There are racists in Scientology, but overall, generally speaking, I can't say that Scientology's generally racist. In fact, I don't, kind of like the sexism, I think I've talked about this before. Scientologists don't think about people in terms of skin color or sexual, what sex they are. You know, they definitely have a thing on their chip on their shoulders about sexual orientation. Because Hubbard went way out of his way to, you know, demonize homosexuality or any kind of sexual perversion. But in terms of man, woman, black, white, yellow, red, you know, gray, blue, whatever, it's not really a thing, you know. I know Hubbard has made racist statements. Of course, the word wog is a British racial slur, and he adopted that word in order to talk about people who weren't Scientologists in the first place, you know, the wogs, this, that, you know. So there are racial terms in Scientology, and there is some racism expressed in Scientology, which comes from Hubbard. But he didn't overtly teach racism, and he didn't encourage racism in his materials. At least in the 27 years that I was in Scientology, I never felt like Hubbard was saying something to me in his lectures or in his written words that made me think less of anybody else because of their race. And that's what I base my answer off of. Mandelia Harriman. I have heard recently that now Sea Org members at Int Base cannot be married. Is this at management only or gold also? Also, when did this start? Do SO members wanting to go there get asked to divorce before they can move up? Can you talk about this topic? Well, I can only talk about it a little bit, so I'm going to give you a flash answer on this one. I'm not aware of the fact that people can't get married up at the Int Base, but Int Base includes International Management and Golden Era Productions or Golden Era Studios. So, yeah, it's going to be all of that. This is the base we're talking about in Hemet, California. If somebody gets clearances and goes through security to go to the Int Base and they're married to somebody who will not be qualified to go to the Int Base, then they will be discouraged to divorce that person. Otherwise, they'll try to work out the husband or the wife to get up to the Int Base as well and get them security clearance to go there, because they would rather do that than tell people they have to get divorced, because that generally pisses people off and upsets them, and they don't want to, you know, get somebody off on the wrong foot sending them up to the Int Base. You know, they'll wait to kick their feet out from under them once they get there. So that's pretty much all I can say on that, because I don't have any direct experience with it. Killabees981. I've read on Tony's blog that the church is going to release OT 9 and 10 later this year. I remember a post on Marty's blog stating that OT 9 and 10 do not exist. What do you think Miscavige could possibly throw together to resemble an OT level that Hubbard never wrote? Also, when the new levels fail to deliver the promised results, do you think that will be the straw that breaks the camel's back for many long-time high-up members? OT 9 and 10 are not going to be released later this year. That report is total nonsense. And the reason I say that, it is my opinion, is because there is no way, no way, that David Miscavige is going to give up the goose that fast on OT 9 and 10. It is the ultimate carrot for every single OT and Scientologist in the world. And he dragged out the release of Superpower for 25 years. And I just do not believe for a second, given that he's got nothing else really of substance to give out to people in Scientology, that he's going to give out OT 9 and 10 in any made-up version he would care to come up with. There are so many different things that could be released as OT 9 and 10, any one of which people would accept hook, line, and sinker, that I don't even need to conjecture on it, because it's just, it could be anything. You know, I could come up with or dream up answers to that question all day long. But I don't think it's going to happen, because it's too valuable to Miscavige to keep people strung along for many, many, many more years on the potential release of OT 9 and 10. And just as a piece of information out here, it has been said in Scientology over and over and over again, including by David Miscavige, very, very clearly, that OT 9 and 10 cannot be released until all the organizations are St. Hill size, meaning they've reached a point of viability where they're capable of supporting themselves. And right now, no church in the world is above St. Hill size, as far as I know. So, not really above a make-break point or an economically viable situation. So, you know, they'd be violating all of their own internal PR about what it's going to take to release 9 and 10 if he just threw it out there. So I don't think for a second that report earlier this year was true. And there would be nobody more shocked than me if OT 9 and 10 in some bizarre form were released. Bogman, what is the thinking behind my endless eternity depends on what I do here and now in Scientology? Simple. Scientology is promising somebody that they will achieve a rehabilitation of their native state as a spiritual being, meaning they will have full recognition and awareness of their spiritual nature and be freed from all of the bonds of physical universe existence. So that's what it means to regain your eternity, because you'll have immortality and you'll know it. Scott Tweedy, in the event of Scientology imploding caused by a myriad of things or Miscavige meeting with his just deserves, what is going to become of the buildings and land in the Scientology portfolio? Will all the gullible donors who have been responsible for their acquisition have any rightful claim over them, or will they become null and void? It's very hard to say, because it depends a lot on the circumstances under which that implosion happens, but there is no question that the local churches will not have any say over their buildings, because I'm 99.9% certain that the titles of those buildings belong to the Church of Scientology International and not to the local church corporations. So they don't control those buildings. They don't own those buildings. Those buildings are owned by Church of Scientology International, which is its own corporation, different from the Church of Scientology of fill in the blank, you know, Denver, Las Vegas, Padova, whatever. And that's it for this week's Q&A episode. Tried my best here to give some good solid answers on some of these questions. I hope you appreciated that and got some value out of what I was talking about this week. Got a lot more exciting stuff coming in the next few weeks with Rachel Bernstein and with some other exciting things coming down the line. So stay tuned. Thank you very much for coming around and watching what I have to say. I really appreciate you guys being here. And if you see any value in what I'm doing here, think about contributing to my Patreon campaign. I think that would be awesome. Till next week, see you later.